Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. This is truly a wonderful psalm. This really is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm of honesty. Every word in the scripture is an honest word, but this is a psalm of honesty concerning the reality of our life here on this earth. The reality of our life here on this earth. The heading at the top of my page says, "The Brevity and Vanity of Life." That means the shortness of it. It's so short. It's so short. I know sometimes the days seem long, but life really is so short. And the emptiness of it. Hate to say that, but it's just so. You know, you want something, you want something, you get something, and then all of a sudden you don't want it anymore. The emptiness of it. Job said that life on this earth is few days and full of trouble. And that's what David was writing about here, the brevity and vanity of life. And I don't know when David wrote this in his life. I don't know what period of life, old man, young man, I don't know when he wrote this. I certainly don't know what day he wrote this. But I'll tell you something that I imagine, okay? I imagine, just in my imagination. A lot of times we read and study and we imagine and think on and try to read between the lines and develop what's happening here. And as I do that, this, because of one line in this psalm, this is just me, okay? When I read this psalm, I envision David feeling led to grab a quill and a parchment because he has been pondering something and he wants to write it down, you know, really moved by something. And I envision him writing this psalm on his birthday. I know that sounds silly, but I do. I can't help it. Every time I read this psalm, in my brain, I envision him writing this psalm on his birthday. I envision him waking up as the king of Israel and quietly watching and listening to all of this commotion going on around him. Everybody's busy working, making preparations for festivities for the king's birthday. And as he watches this, I can envision him quietly praying to the Lord. Look at the middle of verse 5. "Mine age is as nothing before thee." My age is nothing before you. Another year older, so what? What does that mean? The God who does not deal in time, the eternal God, the I Am. The always I am. My age is nothing. Now, whether he wrote this on his birthday or not is irrelevant. But what he wrote is very relevant. Very, very relevant. And I want us to just consider this for a few minutes. I want us to look at seven things that David pondered concerning his life. Seven things that we all need to ponder, because the same things are true concerning all of us. And then after we look at those, I want us to close this message with David's plea and our plea to God because of those seven things. The first thing is in verse 4, but let's read up to it. The first three verses leading up to it. Verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. David said, I know that the best thing I could do in this life, this is wise. He said, I know that the best thing I could do in this life before man and before God is keep my mouth shut. That's the best thing I could do. Like Job finally realized before God, he said, I think it's time for me to put my hand over my mouth. That's when a little maturity comes. I think it's time for me to stop talking. That's wise. Before God, before men too. You know that old saying, it's best to keep your mouth shut and let people think you are a fool rather than open it and remove all doubt. He said, I think it's best that I just stop talking. Hold your place and look at Ecclesiastes 5 for just a second. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So David said, I think it'd be best for me to just keep my mouth shut. That's wise. All right, go back to our text, Psalm 39, verse 2. He said, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace. I didn't say anything. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good. And my sorrow was stirred. He said, I tried to keep silence before God, but something was troubling me too much, and I just couldn't hold it in. Verse 3. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. He said, I had no choice. It was just burning inside me, and I had to cry out to the Lord. The end of verse 3, he said, then spake I with my tongue, verse 4 says, Lord. What a comfort it is to be able to say that name. I got to really thinking about this today. What a blessing and what a comfort it is. We take that name for granted. He said, he was just dying inside. He's burning inside. He's troubled inside. He's so troubled about something until he couldn't stand it any longer. And he cried, Lord. I was thinking as we were just singing, take the name of Jesus with you. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. What a comfort it is to just say that name. Isn't it so comforting? That name that is above every name. What a comfort it is to know that we can cry out to that name. It's a comfort to know that we're allowed to. It's a comfort to know that we've been made able to. If God did not do something for us and create a work in us, we couldn't even do it. What a comfort it is to know that we can and we're allowed to and we're able to and we've been made willing to. Cry out to that name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It truly is the precious name. Oh, how sweet, sweetest name I know. hope of earth and joy of heaven. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. The very same hope of earth is going to be the joy of heaven for all eternity. David cried, and all of God's people cry, Lord, that means sovereign, ruler, controller, God, God, sovereign God. Verse 4, he said, Lord, make me, this is his cry, would you make me, as opposed to the cry of someone who does not know who God truly is, does not know who the Lord truly is, and says, God, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. I have some things I need to say to you. David cries, Lord, make me. Can't we enter into that? Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green. Make me lie down in green pastures. I'm dying inside. That's how this whole thing works. You make me. If anything's going to happen, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to make it happen. You're going to have to be the author of it. You're going to have to be the finisher of it. You're going to have to get all the glory for it. Verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know some things. All right, he's going to ask the Lord to cause him to know some things. And the first thing he asked for is my end. Make me to know mine end. This is something that David pondered, and it's something that all of us ought to ponder. I have an end. I have an end. I've been saying all day, I'm getting old. I've been telling everybody, I'm getting old. Yeah, happy birthday. How old are you? 46. I'm getting old. And everybody who's older than me says, that ain't old. That doesn't matter. I'm not promised tomorrow. My age is nothing before thee. We're not promised 80. I have an end. I have an end of time on this earth. Our brother was talking about that Sunday morning. There's going to come a point, you're here, and there's going to come a point where you're not. We see that in other people. We see that other people have an end, but it's like we don't believe it's really going to come to us. We can't really enter in to our end. Men and women act like they're going to live on this earth forever. Moses said in Deuteronomy 32:29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. The fact that there's an end coming, the fact that there's a judgment coming, a judgment for sin, I ought to seriously ponder that with every year that passes. Every day that passes. Every single day. I have an end on this earth. David said, Lord, make me to know that. Make me to know that. And he said, make me to know this also. Verse 4, he said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. I have an appointed end. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's not just that man dies. People say, do this and you'll extend your life. Do that and you'll shorten your life. No, no, no. It's not just that man dies. Man has an appointed death. Man has an appointed end. I need to know that. Appointed by the Lord, appointed by God. My end is totally in the sovereign control of my God. I need to know that for my comfort. My end is totally in the sovereign control of my God. Every man and woman's end is. Job 14, verse 5 says, man's days are determined. The number of his months are with thee, only known to thee. in the hands of thee. It says, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. There's a sovereign God in control of me, in control of all of us. And not only do we have an end, we have an appointed end. Thank God we have an appointed end. David said, Lord, cause me to know that. And he said, cause me to know this. Verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. David said, I know, and all of God's people know this and ought to know this with David. He said, I am frail. I am frail. I can say that with him. There was a time when I thought I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. And I don't anymore. I do not. I do not claim strength. I claim weakness. I don't claim wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I claim ignorance and foolishness. I am a babe. I'm a babe. Thank God he said he hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Because that's what I am. I'm a frail, weak, helpless babe. Cause me to know that. I need to know that. It's good for me to know that. Verse 5, he said, behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breath, which is nothing. And he said, mine age is as nothing before thee. I am nothing. All right, here's what David has said so far. I have an end. I have an appointed end. I am frail, and I'm nothing. Man naturally thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. We'd be so wise to ponder this and know this. In Isaiah 40, the Lord said, all the nations of the earth are nothing and are counted to him as less than nothing in vanity. That's something for a man who thinks himself to be something to ponder. God said, I am nothing. I'd be wise to say the same thing. I'm nothing. Here's the fifth thing, verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That means empty. I am empty. I'm empty of anything good. I'm empty of all righteousness. I'm empty of holiness. I'm empty of any value whatsoever. I'm empty. Therefore, verse 6 says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. That means he won't. He won't. After all my labors and works on this earth are done, I will leave nothing to offer God. I will have nothing to offer God on my own behalf. David said, I know that. I pray we know that too. Because if we've truly been caused to know that, then we're going to say this with David, okay? Verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? This is his conclusion he came to. My hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. After pondering these things, that's the only conclusion he could come to. Is that not the only conclusion we can come to? My hope is in you. Lord, I have an end. I know I do. I see it coming every day. I have an appointed end. I am frail. I am nothing. I am empty, and I don't have one thing to offer God on my own behalf. Therefore, all my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it. All of it. Now, if we can say that with David and mean it, really mean it, number one, we're blessed. Because not many people can say that. Not many people would repeat that and say, yeah, that describes me. If we can say that, number one, we're blessed. But if we can say that with David and mean it, I want to close the message with this plea to God because of those seven statements. If we can say those seven statements and mean it, then this is our plea to God. Verse 8 says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Because I have an end because of my sin. And because you're in charge of it, an appointed end. And because I'm frail and nothing and empty. And because I can't do anything for myself. Would you deliver me from all my transgressions? I'm going to tell you something. This is my hope and this is my plea. This sincerely is my hope and my plea. Lord, because for your name's sake, as Psalm 107 verse 20 says, I think, for your name's sake, because you are who you are, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Because you save sinners, please save me because I'm the chief. I'm the worst one. This is my plea. Lord, please deliver me because I'm in the state I'm in. I need you to deliver me from all my transgressions. Lord, would you shed your blood on me? Would you cover me in all your merciful redemption? Lord, would you be my substitute? Would you hang in the place of my judgment? I have an end. I have a judgment. Would you hang in the place of that judgment? Would you let it be revealed to me that you did hang in the place of my judgment? Because I'm such a great sinner, would you please send your deliverance to me? Not one time, and enter into this, okay? Not one time has the Lord ever turned away a sinner who has come to him asking for deliverance from sin. People who are lost in religion do not come to him asking for deliverance from their sin. They come to him for everything else under the sun. Deliverance from cancer, deliverance from financial troubles, deliverance from whatever, but never their wretched, decaying, rotten sin. Every soul who comes to him receives and is not turned away. Not one time has he ever turned a sinner away. Verse 8 says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I'm telling you, this is my plea to him. Our Lord said, you go tell everybody the things the Lord has done for you. I'm speaking on my own behalf here. The word reproach means disgrace, shame, the reason for rebuke. That's what reproach means, the reason for the rebuke. What he's saying is, let me not be the reason. Keep me from being the reason for reproach coming from this world. Let me not bring shame to the witness of the gospel and the congregation of God's people. Please keep me from that. Deliver me from my transgressions. Keep me from being a reproach on you. Verse 9 says, I was dumb. I was silent. I opened not my mouth. Because thou did it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. That blow of judgment that I deserve. Remove it from me by laying it on Christ my substitute. my deliverer, my savior, my king. Verse 11, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. He said, I'm crying this with tears. He is in agony. He's crying, I'm nothing. I need you. I need you to deliver me. He said, I'm in tears over this. Please hear me. Don't hold your peace from me. Give me the peace of knowing that I've received mercy from you. Verse 13, oh, spare me. I can just envision him crying from the depths of his soul. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Let me leave this world in the strength of knowing that I'm a spared man. David said, Lord, I have an end. I have an appointed end. I'm frail. I'm nothing. I'm empty. I have nothing to offer you. All my hope is in you alone. Therefore, this is my plea. Deliver me from my sin. Keep me from being the one who brings disgrace and shame to you. Remove your judging blow from me. Hear my prayer. Give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. And spare me. Please spare me for the blood of Christ's sake. Is that not our cry? If it is, just listen to this, okay? I'm done. Message over. I could not imagine a greater psalm being placed next in the canon of Scripture than Psalm 40. I could not imagine a greater psalm being placed after Psalm 39 than Psalm 40. Listen to these opening verses, and we're going to close with this. All through Psalm 39, David is just pleading and begging and crying. This is what I am. This is what I am, and this is what I need. Please, please. Oh, spare me. Oh, spare me. Please. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed is that man. Every sinner who acknowledges what David acknowledged and cries what David cried and is caused to trust in the Lord, truly to trust in the Lord, that will have the same result as that right there. May the Lord be all of our trust all the days of our life. Amen.